go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Welcome to our radio program called Go Rebuild My Church. My name is Peter Doan, and along with my wife Leslie, we're really excited to be with you today as we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, Go Rebuild My Church, and how this theme is relevant to the church today. Leslie and I have recently launched a lay apostolate called Encounter Jesus Discipleship Ministries. You can learn more about us and our passion for renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 12 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church. And hopefully, through the ministry of this radio program, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, as well as parishes, to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, we've just completed a series on the two key components of the Great Commission, which are evangelization and discipleship. Peter, this has been a great series. We've covered the first aspect of the Great Commission, which was evangelization, and talked about the call that's on all of our lives to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then we went into depth around the second aspect of the Great Commission, which is to make disciples, which is also the theme of our website. Mm-hmm. And our listeners were presented with a model for discipleship that you personally developed while you were serving in parish ministry. And this model is called the Seven Pillars of Catholic Discipleship. These seven pillars, you've taught us, they can be found in the scripture. We see them being practiced in the early church, the lives of the saints, and actually all throughout the catechism. But Peter, where can our listeners tap into some resources to learn more about these seven pillars and making disciples?
Yes, thanks, Leslie. So I would direct our listeners to our website. It was www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org, where we have several resources on that website that will help our listeners practically implement these seven pillars, which I would just summarize as encounter and re-encounter Jesus Christ. Secondly, study and learn the sacred scripture. Third, develop a consistent prayer life. Fourth, receive the sacraments of penance and Eucharist regularly. Fifth, discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts. Sixth, conduct spiritual warfare. And finally, seventh, go and share your faith.
For those who were listening last week, we wrapped up the series with a focus on the seventh pillar, which is go and share your faith. And we were fortunate to have a guest speaker from St. Paul Street Evangelization Apostolate. And Adam Jenke, he was our guest speaker, is a key leader in this apostolate and currently serves as the chief operations officer. It was a very, very informative interview, Peter. I super enjoyed it.
Very helpful, I think.
And if you would like to hear the details, you can access this at the Catholic Radio Indy under podcast. But Peter, could you refresh for us what were some of the key takeaways from that interview?
Yeah, I think a few things are certainly worth repeating, Leslie. He did a great job for us sharing with us a model for evangelization. And the St. Paul Street Evangelization Apostolate both teaches and equips their members and workers, to go and share the faith, which is our seventh pillar of discipleship. And let me mention a couple of the key takeaways, I think. First of all, Adam spoke of the methods used by those that they have evangelizing and train, and it's fourfold. It's listen, number one, learn to listen. Number two, befriend. Number three, proclaim. And then number four, invite. And he emphasized that their focus in sharing the gospel is one-on-one versus like going out on the corner with a bullhorn or feeling like that you've got to get into all these uncomfortable zones. And he mentioned that although evangelization can seem complicated, the good news from their perspective is that it does not take a long time to train to get started. It's not like something that has to happen for a long period of time in the training process. He mentioned that the church needs strategic plans to carry out parish and diocesan evangelization efforts, right? I know a lot of diocesan programs are being put together even as we speak, but they take a while to put together. He emphasized that individuals can start evangelizing today with just a few simple tools and know-how. He mentioned that their evangelizers often carry sacramentals like rosaries and miraculous medals. And the reason that they do that is when you give that to someone, it reminds them that God loves them, the love of God.
Well, I really like this model that Adam brought to us. Peter and I have actually been very fortunate to work with this apostolate. We've actually had evangelization tables at different festivals and other places of outreach. And it's true, you don't have to wait on your parish or a diocesan program to get started giving your witness. All you have to do is be equipped with a simple gospel and a love for Jesus, know the gospel, the kerygma, and take along some of those sacramentals. Isn't that right, Peter?
Yeah, exactly. So Adam also helped us see that you don't need a degree in Catholic apologetics or theology in order to evangelize. He even gave an example of when he was talking to some PhDs in theology that were a little bit insecure and felt that they were a bit inadequate to go out and share their faith. Adam did a great job in getting us to see that sharing our faith is not complicated, Leslie, but rather a willingness just to step out in the love of Jesus. And a final takeaway from last week was that he used this new concept, which they call the two-minute conversation. And let me mention a couple of the basics to that, or there's four basics of these two-minute conversation. Number one, introduce yourself and break the ice. Most evangelizers, again, use these sacramentals kind of as an icebreaker, and you kind of say, hey, I've got a gift for you. A miraculous medal, you talk about maybe how Mother Teresa used miraculous medals. And then you share a little bit about yourself and the miraculous medal, and maybe mention, hey, I go to church at so-and-so Catholic church. How about yourself? Number two, he said, in an emphasis in this two-minute conversation, listen to their story. So the second step is to really try to get somebody to talk about themselves. Ask them if they go to church, and they might say, no, I don't. And you follow up question, how come? And were you brought up in a Catholic family or a Christian family? But get the person to talk a little bit about themselves and their story. And he mentioned to him that 90% of the people that they talk to on the streets usually want to talk a little bit about themselves. Then out of that context, the third step in the two-minute process is to share the gospel, the simple gospel, and share one reason, especially out of your own life, of why Jesus Christ has become important to you. And most people are really open to hearing that one reason, and everyone loves a good story. And so by listening to that story, you can be prudent in sharing what they need to hear. And then finally, Leslie, he talked about the invitation to respond to the gospel and talk about, and one of the ways that you can do that is to invite the person to pray with you. And I've been amazed as well in our experiences how people are open to share with you their prayer needs, and just they don't necessarily even need to participate in the prayer, but how they're really desirous of to have you pray for them in that context.
We actually carried that forward too and developed a prayer list from each of our outreach efforts with St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Right, so we can even follow up in our own personal prayer times for the different needs that we come across in these people and with these two-minute conversations.
Well, these two-minute conversations are great. The four steps make it really clear. It makes it easy for most of us to step into evangelizing, even if it's something that we're not comfortable with.
Right.
So thank you for that summary, Peter. And we're now going to break away for a short announcement, and when we return, we'll introduce our new series that is the foundation stone in rebuilding the church.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are beginning a new series that we believe is foundational to the call that was given to St. Francis of Assisi, which was Go Rebuild My Church. And how this relates to us today. Peter, can you start this new series with just giving us an overview of what we're seeing as a critical part of that rebuilding process?
Yes, Leslie. I want to take our audience back to a time that we mentioned a few broadcasts ago in May when we were having dinner with a priest friend of ours. And we were speaking about the crisis in the American church, which we've been talking about and outlining here throughout this program and throughout these broadcasts. In fact, our new listeners, if you're meeting with us on fairly recently, you could go to Sherry Waddell's book that we've used kind of as a stepping stone, so to speak, where she, in the first 47 pages of her book, Forming Intentional Disciples, speaks about the crisis that's going on in the church. So as we were having dinner with Father, he said from his perspective, the key to rebuilding the church is that we must return to biblical Christianity. And you know, Leslie, when he said that, something in my soul rose up as if to say, yep, that's right, Father. And so, as always, we want to be solutions-based on this program and not be wringing our hands or leave our listeners hopeless, but rather begin to address practical solutions to the difficulties in the church today. So we want to take a journey into biblical Christianity, Leslie, and we want to see what it looks like and how to bring it into the lives of individual Catholics, families, parishes, and as the Catechism refers to, the great church. But in order to do that, we're going to have to use a primer. And I believe that the primer is that wonderful book in the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles, the fifth book in the New Testament.
Well, I'm excited about this journey into biblical Christianity and taking a really close look at what it would be like to bring it into our lives and our parishes. I do think it is a wonderful opportunity for us to rediscover the traditions that have been handed down to us, where they started, where they came from the Lord to the apostles, how it was passed on through oral tradition, and then finally written down for us in the Holy Scriptures. So I'm excited about this journey.
So, yeah, amen to that. And I came across a connection in my biblical studies and readings and things that I think is a really great stepping off point, Leslie. And that is an Old Testament story. And it's the story of Josiah in the Hebrew Scriptures that, for our listening audience, if you want to read this, and I think you'll get excited to read it as I talk about it, in 2 Kings 22 and 23, and also the book of 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. And as you listen, you'll see that there's a great word picture there that is a type of what we need to do in the church today to recapture what we're calling biblical Christianity. So the writer in Chronicles tells us about Josiah's life. And first of all, he became the king in Judah, the southern kingdom, at 8 years old. Can you believe that? He was anointed king at 8 years old. And Josiah's reforms began in the eighth year of his reign, which, how old is he then? 16 years old, okay? And he is the king of the southern kingdom. And like we've talked about so much, everything begins with a personal conversion, Leslie. He had a spiritual awakening at 16 years old, and the scripture says in 2 Chronicles that he began to seek God. And after he began to seek God, he desired to bring a purification to the land that was filled with idolatry, because with his father and before him, there was a series of kings that really burned incense on the high places and created intense idolatry throughout the southern kingdom, not unlike it happened in the northern kingdom of Israel. Then in the Chronicles, it says in the 18th year of his reign, now he's 26 years old, he begins to see a need to renovate the temple and to rebuild things that have been broken down and in it, etc. So that whole concept of rebuilding, he wanted to rebuild the temple. And when he sent the priests and some of the craftsmen to the temple, they're going around the temple, and all of a sudden, one of his servants discovers the book of the law. And it's so graphic. And he reads the book of the law and he immediately takes it back to Josiah. And he reads it to Josiah. And in that, there is a call for the renewal of the covenant and a climatic Passover restoration. In fact, Leslie, it's really amazing. He comes back and Josiah says, okay, read me the book. And as he's reading, all of a sudden, Josiah tears his clothes, falls on his face, and starts weeping. In fact, when God spoke to the prophetess to go and say she was pleased with Josiah's response, the Lord said through the prophetess, when you ripped your clothes and began to weep and call out to me, that really got my attention. So it's interesting. You know, you think that God just is interested in our mental responses to him, but even in our physical responses sometimes, like if we kneel at church or if we sometimes are moved and there's a tear concerning the crucifixion or something like that, that gets God's attention. So anyways, Josiah began this reform based on reading the book. And it occurs not overnight, but over a decade, and rather than a single year. The writer omits the arduous, bloody details. He also killed the prophets and burned their bones and put them on these altars. It's pretty graphic. But the thing that the chronicler finally portrays is that he restores the rich details of the Passover, giving claim that there, and this shocked me, Leslie, that this is in the scripture, that the Passover was not celebrated as intensely with Josiah since Samuel, and even the kings that followed Samuel, that includes Saul, David, and all, some of the righteous kings did not celebrate the Passover the way that he did, because he saw the scripture needed to be restored to Israel.
Well, I've personally never connected the rebuilding and renewal that Josiah led to our current times and what needs to happen today. I'm excited to get back into the scripture and read this wonderful account of God's people and their return to the Lord in the scripture and apply it to what we're going through today in our current environment. When you talked about the purification of the land from idolatry, there's idolatry all around us currently in our culture. Mm-hmm. So please stay with us now as we're going to take another short break. And when we return, Peter's going to continue his journey into biblical Christianity and share with us why the Acts of the Apostles is so important.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
An interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. And at the same time, I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
You're on a journey, in a race, in the company of others.
Imperfection makes you human. Forgiveness offers life, and opportunity brings hope.
Good news and great company. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to today's broadcast. Today we are sharing the call to rebuild the Catholic faith here in America through a restoration of biblical Christianity. And in our last segment, we learned a little bit about how Josiah in the Hebrew scriptures foreshadows the time frame that we find ourselves in right now. Okay, Peter, we're ready. Why is the Acts of the Apostles central to the renewal of the church?
Leslie, in preparing for our show, I discovered that in May of 2019, Pope Francis began a series of audiences on the Acts of the Apostles. And that really got my attention because the Acts of the Apostles have been really meaningful to me for the last year and a half. So I'm going to take a few ideas from his first audience to introduce this powerful book in the New Testament and how I believe that this is really relevant today. So these are some ideas from Pope Francis in this audience. First of all, he mentioned the obvious, that this is a biblical book written by St. Luke, the evangelist, Dr. Luke, who speaks to us about a journey, and that Acts takes us on a journey. And what is that journey? That journey, the Pope pointed out, is taking the gospel into the world. And so that's the first point. So when we look at the Acts of the Apostles, we're going to get ready to take a journey spiritually.
Right. The book of Acts is actually a journey.
That's right. Secondly, the Pope pointed out that when the Spirit visits the human word, we got the word and then we've got the Spirit coming upon the apostles and their word, it was like dynamite. That is, it was capable. In fact, Leslie, the word for spirit in the Greek is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. And the Pope makes the connection that the dynamite of the Spirit came upon the church and into the world to break up old systems and to warm hardened hearts and to open up new paths in expanding the borders of the people of God. The Pope went on to say that there's one major dynamic that we must recognize to make the Acts of the Apostles what it is, and that is it's the Holy Spirit alone that makes the faith come alive. And I think that that's really important for us today. The Holy Spirit is the one who guaranteed the perseverance and the fruitfulness of the words of the proclamation. Without the Holy Spirit, the proclamation just dribbles off our lips, if you will.
So the Holy Spirit had to come upon the words as they preached them.
Exactly. Proclamation without the Holy Spirit is just really dead. The Pope went on to conclude or to mention that obviously the Gospels conclude with the resurrection and the ascension, but the narrative of the Acts of the Apostles picks us right back up again where Jesus is telling his disciples in Acts chapter 1, the promise of the Father was going to come upon them as they waited in the cenacle with Mary and the 120 in the upper room. He pointed out, Leslie, that we skip over this sometimes, but the Holy Spirit came upon the same room where Jesus instituted the Eucharist.
Yeah, we don't think about that,
yeah,
do we?
Yeah, so you've got Eucharist and you've got the Holy Spirit coming upon these 120 in this same room. And I think that's a powerful imagery that the Pope reminded us as well. And then he also mentioned that finally, that the Holy Spirit and the apostles' experience came together. They lived it as the Lord's family in that upper room, and the walls in which they bore witness were really accentuated and prepared for the Holy Spirit by them praying together. Remember, it starts out by saying they were praying together for 10 days in the Holy Spirit, and during that prayer, that brought a unity, it brought a perseverance, and it prepared them for this powerful coming of the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy Spirit actually gave them courage, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
To go out and do the work that God
had
for them.
Yeah, without that, they were hiding.
Well, this catechesis that was provided by the Pope really helps us to see the importance of the book of Acts as we seek to return to biblical Christianity. And what I hear you saying in summary is that the first step towards a return to biblical Christianity is to invoke the Holy Spirit, just like they did in the book of Acts. But practically, Peter, how do we put this into action right now in our own individual lives, our parish lives?
Okay, well, I want to give a little testimony, but let me introduce this testimony by this simple scripture lesson. This is when Jesus was talking about prayer with his disciples. He said, "What father among you would hand a son a snake when he asked for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asked for an egg? If you then are wicked, how do you know how to give good gifts to your children? How much more would the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So one of the things I want to say and leave us with today, Leslie, is simply, let's go home tonight, everyone, and before we go to bed, let's ask the Holy Spirit to come upon our life. And this reminds me of a testimony that I had. Before I worked at the parish, and while I was in transition from an evangelical pastor, I taught in the inner city. And one of the things I did as I taught, I also led the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I can remember that I was forming a big pizza Christmas party, and it was our biggest meeting of the year because when you tell high school kids free pizza, you're going to get them there. And
they bring their friends too.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, here I was relating to these young inner city kids, and I was a little bit insecure about just what to say to them, how to impart something of the Lord to them. And so what I did was, before I went into that meeting, I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say, but please give me the words that's going to meet these children. And so when I went into that meeting, I had a sense, and we'll see this in the Acts of the Apostles, Holy Spirit a lot of times comes upon people. I could tell that the Holy Spirit had come upon not just me, but the students and the whole big room that we were in. And as I began to talk, as they were eating pizza, I could see the Holy Spirit begin to open them up. And really, they began to listen as I shared my personal testimony, how Jesus Christ had changed my life.
I think that's a wonderful example, and I know that in your journey, working in the inner city, and the calling that you felt to work there was to truly be there to try to make a difference in these young people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for us to venture out and to see what the Acts of the Apostles can teach us today and how we can all become rebuilders in the Lord's church.
Right. And just to reiterate again, I would say that in that chapter in Luke 11, in that verse, Jesus made it really simple. He said, just ask that the Holy Spirit come upon you. And so the next time that we have a circumstance or a situation like I had when I went to share with those young people, take a moment and say, come Holy Spirit, fill me with your life and your love and give me your words. And I believe that he'll show up and do exactly what he says he'll do.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today as we seek to connect individuals and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And to hear our past programs, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and press the big blue button in the top left corner of the webpage, and make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye, and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.